Daf Mem Alf. Today's learning is sponsored by the Failed the Family in Honor of the Parents, Children, and Grandchildren. So we got to the top of Mem Alf, Mem Alf, three lines down. The Gemara was talking about transferring Kedusha or adding Kedusha of Kedusha Shvius through Mekach or through Chil. We had Machlokes Rabbi Elazar versus Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar said it only works through Mekach. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bein Derech Mekach, Bein Derech Chil. So the Gemara now says three lines down, comes along with Ashi. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi, Machlokes Bepri Rishon. This whole debate, whether or not Chil also works, everyone agrees Mekach works, whether Chil also works is only true of Prisheni, meaning after you've sold the first one, and now you're dealing with the Prisheni, how will that Kedusha move over? So that's the Machlokes. However, that's by said, Machlokes Bepri Rishon, the original Pri. About the Prisheni, Divriach Chil, everybody agrees if it's a second fruit, it transfers Kedusha Bein Derach Mekach and Bein Derach Chil. Gemara said, how could that be? Didn't we have a brayse yesterday? The brayse that came along to prove the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that only mekach works. The brayse says lakach two times, meaning lakach per shvius, and then it says lakach basar v'dogim, then lakach yayin, and so on. Lakach was used each time. Was it not indicating that only lakicha works? Only bein perishon, bein perisheni. Gemara says no. The reason why I said lakach even by the second purchase was simply because I did the tana reisha lakach tana nami seifa lakach. But the truth is the reisha, the first pre, can only be transferred. That's machlokas. But pre sheni, everybody agrees bein chilul bein lakach. That's the Gemara's the Bryce. Gemara said, wait a second. Aseve Ravina the Rashi. Is it true that the machlokas is pre rishon? And be pre sheni, everybody agrees bein derech mekach bein derech chilul. Is that really true? They quoted Brisa, that person who's got a coin of Shvius, which means he had sold a fruit of his, an esrog, let's say an esrog that grew in Shvius, he sold it for a seller. So now he's got a seller of Shvius in his hand. He wants to buy a suit. So why can he buy a suit? So look at how Rashi explains why he can't. Rashi says five narrow lines down. He's not allowed to. Why not? The Torah Amra Lachla B'soch Azman V'lo L'schor. You have to sell something or to eat it only, but not to make profit or to keep it for a long time. V'zem Eskayim L'shan Haba. A suit can last many years, so it's not going to be completely used up during that year of Shemitah. So you can't buy something that lasts for a long time. So you can't buy a chalak. So what do you do? So he's got some money, but he wants to buy a suit. What's the Eitzah? So the Gemara explains. Ketzad Yaseh. What should he do? Yeilich Eitzah Chanvani Aragi. That's low. He should go to a Chanvani who he trusts. Who they know each other, they have a certain understanding. Vomerlo, he should say, Tainli besela peros, give me a seller worth of peros, for free, give it to me, just peros. So he gives him peros, no sin lo. V'choz of Omer, then he says, Hare peros halalu, these fruit that you have, Nesunim l'chob matana, says they're going to be a gift for you. So he gives a gift of fruit. V'hu amerlo, halacha sela, zu matana, then he says, here's a coin as a gift for you, it's not a mekach, it's not a transfer. V'hala lakach ba, mashi yitza. So somehow you're able to transfer the fruit, will now take on the kedusha of the seller, and now the seller is a regular chulin, and then through that, he could buy the seller with that, whatever he wants. That's the transfer. So Gemara said, wait a second. V'ha'acha the pre-sheni hiu, v'dekatani derech mekach in derech chilalo. So here he's talking about pre-sheni. Because by him using the seller shel shvius, it must be the second round. It can't be the original pre-rishon, because a coin is no pre. There's such thing as a coin being a pre-rishon. So it's a pre-sheni. So and the peros are also pre-sheni. And the only way you're able to transfer the kedusha from the seller to the fruit, the Gemara seems to indicate, only through buying and selling it. By buying the fruit, that fruit that the seller shel shvius will transfer onto the fruit now, but chilul won't work. So we see pre-sheni, not everybody agrees derech mekach and derech chilul works. This brayse says only derech mekach seems to work. So the Gemara says, no, Ella, Amar Rav Ashi says, machlokas b'pre-sheni, the debate whether or not mekach works is only by pre-sheni. Avab pre-sheni, or whether chilul works rather, is only by pre-sheni. Avab pre-rishon, divri akol derech mekach in the chilul lo. So what comes out in the end of the day is that when it comes to the original fruit, the only way to get rid of to add on the kedusha to another item is only through derech mekach. Chilul will not work. By the pre-sheni, bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul. That's what the Gemara concludes. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second. V'had the katani echad shvius v'echad ma'aser sheni. So then we have the discussion earlier yesterday's daf the brayse. It said, whether talking about shvius, whether talking about ma'aser, you could be mischalel. How do we understand that brisa? That's talking about the original shvius, the original maisha sheni. So the original shvius, the brisa says you can be mechalel. But we just said everybody agrees their pre-rishon only derech mekach works, not derech chilul. So how do we understand that brisa? It says shvius chilul does work on the pre-rishon. And Gemara says my shvius d'mei shvius. It's talking about that, even though the brisa says shvius, it doesn't mean the pre-rishon. It refers to the money, d'mei shvius, which by definition must be called the pre-sheni, rather. So how do we know that? Because di lo teimach, if you don't say this, meiser, would you also mean meiser mamish, the meiser sheni? You're being mechal meiser sheni fruits onto behema? Because remember, the Gemara said, according to that brisa, echad shvius ve'echad meiser sheni, mischal al behema. Now, if we take meiser sheni literally, meiser sheni, the fruit that grew, that cannot be meschal on behemas. That can only be meschal on coins, as Rashi the Gemara says. V'haksiv v'tzarata kesev biyadcha. So the original meiser fruit could only be mechal on money. Money could now be mechal on other animals if you want. So this brisa cannot be taken literally. So when it says meiser sheni, it's mechal on behemach. I know, but it must be talking about demei meiser sheni. And just like meiser sheni is referring to demei meiser sheni, shvius also must be talking about demei shvius, which means pre-sheni. That's why chila works. Ella says the Gemara, demei meiser, hachanami demei shvius. Just look at Rashi to explain this meiser sheni point. Rashi says around 20 narrow lines up. Meiser, meiser mamish b'tmiya. When it says meiser sheni, the brisa doesn't mean meiser sheni literally. V'chiyesh lomar she meiser atzmo yischal al behem achayv ov. Could the actual fruit that has a din of meiser sheni be mischal on animals? V'aksiv, the pasuk says, v'nasata b'kesev v'tzarata. Dein mischal ela al hamatbeya, only on coins, davar sheyesh lo alav tzura. So therefore we conclude that must be referring to the demei meiser sheni, so to the demei of the shvius. It means like a coin. The Rashi is like a face, an image in the coin. So then the Mishnah says as follows: Berishona hayalulav nita b'mikdash shiva u'medinas yom medina yom echad. So this is the midiraisa. The requirement of taking the lulav for 7 days is only a mitzvah deraisa in the base hamikdash. Now there's a machlokas between Rashi and Rambam, a well-known machlokas, whether the base hamikdash refers to base hamikdash proper or base hamikdash is really all of Yerushalayim. Rashi says base hamikdash. He says both here, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, refers to only the Beis HaMikdash, and Medina is Yerushalayim and everything else as well. And the Rambam says, no, Beis HaMikdash means all of Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean Beis HaMikdash Dafka. Either way, there's a mitzvah deraisa of having it 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim, depending on your understanding, only one day. That's a din deraisa. Actually, very halachah l'maaseh nowadays, because what would be, nowadays we have no Beis HaMikdash, but Yerushalayim, it might still be a din deraisa. So if a person, let's say is on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, should a person try to go ahead and go into Yerushalayim to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of the 7 days? So if you hold that it's based on the understanding of the Rambam, the Beis HaMikdash means all of Yerushalayim. That means it's a mitzvah deraisa b'zman hazeh of shaking it all 7 days. So there are some gedolim who are makbid to go all 7 days to Yerushalayim. Now it's unclear what is considered Yerushalayim. But certainly going to the Kosel, that's considered the Yerushalayim. So that would be safe in fulfilling this particular mitzvah. Fine. So the Mishnah says that was all the din on a deraisa level. Mishnah Chara Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyehe lulav nitel b'medina shiva zeich l'mikdash. He instituted that even though in Chutz Laaretz or outside the Beis HaMikdash there is no mitzvah deraisa of 7 days, he thought it was a zeich l'mikdash, one should do it anyways all 7 days. That was the tikkun he made. And the second tikkun he made, there were many of them, we'll look at Tosfos in just a moment. The second one was sheyehe yom hanaf kulo aser, which meant that the din of the first day Chol Moed Pesach, the 16th of Nisan, is the day of the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer is brought when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and then all the Chadash, all the Aser barley that was new, grown during the year, it now becomes Yashin, becomes old, and it's permitted. So he said, and we'll see why this is, he said you have to wait until the entire 16th, the day the 16th of Nisan passes, and it's all Aser until the day, the next day, or until nightfall, that you're allowed to have the barley, it doesn't become Yashin. And we'll see why that is. So look at Tosfos for a second. Tosfos writes, V'sheye yom hanaf kula aser. Harbit takanos tikkun Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He made many takanos. And lahanach tarti, these two in particular, tikkun yachad. Lahachitani hacha yom hanaf agav grara. Apparently he made these takanos at the same point, so that's why they were grouped together. But the other takanos he made at different junctions in his life. Now the ancient question, Tosfos and Maseches Megillah ask and others as well, how come we only say this is Hiratzon, this is Zeich LeMikdash? When it comes to Sfiras Omer, we say Harachamun Yachas Lana Avodah Beis Hamikdash Mekomra. But here we are Amenu Amen Tzela. We only say this by Sfiras Omer. Why don't we say this by Lulav 7 days Zeich Lamikdash? Why don't we say this by other mitzvahs as well? That's the question that they ask. So a number of answers are brought down. One of them is that maybe only the Ravid quotes a Shita, that we only say this maybe by Sfiras Omer because the Zman of the Gula is going to be in Nisan, we're told. That's what the Gemara says, in Nisan, Ligoyel. So Sfiras Omer, which is in Nisan time, and even though it carries on beyond that, then it's right to say Harachaman. But Tishrei time and the Lulav, it's not right to say Ligoyel because it's not now it's not the right month. That's how some explain. Others say because Lulav, we at least have the first day as Deraisa. Everyone agrees, still Deraisa, Bizman is there. So it's not entirely Zeich LaMikdash. As opposed to Sfira, we lost the entire mitzvah. The whole thing is Zeich LaMikdash, and therefore it's right to say Harachaman as opposed to by Lulav. And there are a few other answers that are brought. So look inside the Gemara now. The Gemara wants to know, Minolan Avdinan Zeich LaMikdash. What's the basis? Who said, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai goes ahead and makes various takanas for Zeich LaMikdash? Where did he get this from? Who gave him this idea? So Amr Rabbi Yochanan Damar Kwa, the Pasuk says, a Pasuk appears in Yirmiyah, it says, Ki ala arucha lach, umimakosayach erpaich num Hashem, ki nidacha nidacha karulach tzion hi darish einla. So that part of the end, tzion hi darish einla. There's no one who's being darish shia, no one who's seeking out, looking to remember tzion, to remember Eretz Yisrael, to remember Beis HaMikdash. Darish einla, michlal debay drisha, implying that it requires drisha. People have to think of ways to remember the Zeich HaMikdash, and that was the basis for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takanas. So now the Gemara says, what is this last takana mentioned here, the second takana? Shehei yom hanaf, that the whole day should be also. What's pshat in this takana? So Gemara says, my time. Mehera, mehera meinu beis hamikdash, the yomru, yibana beis hamikdash. We know, mitzvah Hashem, the beis hamikdash should be rebuilt soon. The yomru, they're going to say, ishtaket, last year, milo achalnu behoir mizrach, hashanami nechel. So what's going to happen is, midaraisa. The way it works midaraisa, I'll say outside, then we'll see this inside. Midaraisa, in the times of beis hamikdash, when there's a carbon, the moment the carbon was brought, so then that's when they're allowed to eat it. So 6 a.m. in the morning, the sun rises, you can't eat, until they brought the carbon omer, which took place no later than noon. So at that point, noon, you're allowed to eat the chadash, becomes yashan, all barley is permitted. Even though you don't know they brought it, you could assume they brought it by noon. Now, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, so the way it works, Midaraisa, is the moment the sun rises, early morning, 6 a.m. in the morning, you could already have your barley. It's all now becomes yashan. So there's a kula, it's interesting, there's a kula, bizmana churban, more so than bizmana mikdash. Bizmana mikdash, you need to wait another few hours, but outside of that, then bizmana churban, you can eat it the moment the sun rises. So now what's going to happen is, this past year, Midaraisa, Pesach was here, the first day of Chol HaMoed, we ate the moment the sun rose, 6 a.m. in the morning. And now Beis HaMikdash, Mirat Hashem, should be built this next, coming up Pesach. And we're going to say, last year we ate at 6 a.m. in the morning, this year we'll also eat at 6 a.m. in the morning. We're going to, we don't know, the halach is that when there's a mikdash, we have to wait till the carbon's brought, we must wait a few hours to eat. So because of that confusion, so he says again, read it one more time, my time, of behavior menu, yivan, beis hamikdash, v'yomru eshtaked milo, ochalnu b'ha'ir mizrach, did we not eat last year when the sun rose? Hashanami, this year as well, there's a beis hamikdash, but still, necha will eat it. V'inhu lo yadu, they didn't know, or they won't know, d'shtaked d'lo havi beis hamikdash, heir mizrach, hitir. They didn't know that last year, since there's no Beis HaMikdash, it was the sun rising that allowed them to eat. Bahashadika Beis HaMikdash, now there's a Beis HaMikdash, Omer Matir, it's the carbon Omer that allows them to eat. So therefore, he had to make a takana that the whole day is Asr. So they shouldn't be confused, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, wait a second, let's understand, let's get a little bit more details here. Dibonei Emas, when was the Beis HaMikdash built in this construct we're talking about? In this hypothetical situation, when the Beis HaMikdash comes, when was it built exactly? So that will have such a confusing. I had such a confusion. So Elaim, if you're going to tell me, the Bani Bishitzar, that was built on the 16th day, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, so then, Harei Hitir Ha'er Mizrach, meaning the moment the sun rose, there's no Beis HaMikdash yet, there's no Chiv Karbon Omer, so the sun rising will allow it to be eaten. So you don't have to wait, there's no confusion. Ella, the Bani B'Chamesar, so then if it was built on the 15th, or Rashi says any day earlier, it was already built sometime before Yom Tov began, so then, you don't have to wait the whole day. There's a Beis HaMikdash. So then, Dibani B'Chamesar, Mechatzos Hayom Ulahalam Tishtar. It should be permitted afternoon on the day of the 16th. The Hotnan, the Mishnah Meseches, Menachos teaches us. Hayrechokim, the people who are far from the Beis HaMikdash who didn't know with certainty when the carbon omer is brought, they could assume with certainty that Mutarin Mechatzos Hayom Ulahalam. That afternoon, they could certainly eat. The fish ain't bezin misatznebo. Bezin isn't lazy, and they'll ensure that the carbon omer is brought by noon. So either way, why wait the whole day? Either it should be the sun rising in the morning, 6 a.m., or it should be noon. To say the whole day is asr. So Gemara says, Lo tzricha dibani bilayla inami samach l'shkiyas hachama. They built it at nighttime, or they built it close to shkiyas hachama. And Rashi explains here that when he built it so close to, again, it was nightfall, not the Yom Tov, but Matzah Yom Tov. So going into Chol HaMoed, the first day of Chol HaMoed, they built it that nighttime. And now, by the time they're getting the act together, they didn't have enough time to, it's such a tircha, to go to the Sirsa Omer, to cut the grain, to put the carbon together. It's a big tircha. And maybe that one day, they were lazy, not lazy, but they were involved in building the Beis HaMikdash. The carbon Omer was delayed the day the Beis HaMikdash was built. And it wouldn't be brought until the day is over. So therefore, they said, you know what? Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh made a takana. No, don't build a don't allow the chadash until the whole day passes. Now Rashi asks a number of interesting questions here. Rashi says, wait a second. How could the Gemara entertain the possibility that the Beis Mikdash was built balaylo? The Gemara in Shmuel says, based on the pasuk, it says bayom hakim, that the daytime you must build the Beis Mikdash v'lo balaylo. You can't build the Beis Mikdash balaylo. It's usher. That's question one. Question two is, you can't build the Beis Mikdash on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, what if the Beis Mikdash is built on the Chamesar? The 15th of Nisan is Yom Tov, it's Pesach. How do you build the Beis Mikdash on Yom Tov? It's also to do so. So if you look at Rashi quotes his famous line here. Rashi, three lines up from the bottom. Kashya, de Belayla eino nivna. You can't build the Beis Mikdash Belayla. De kaim lam b'shvus, de ein bin the Beis Mikdash Belayla. De chsev b'yom hekim. And no, moreover, lo b'chamesar shu Yom Tov, you can't build the Beis Mikdash Yom Tov. De kaim lam b'shvus, de ein bin the Beis Mikdash Docha Yom Tov. So says that Rashi, hanimile binin habanoi bide adam. That's only if the Beis Mikdash is built by person. About Mikdash Ha'asir, Shana Mitzapin, Banoi Mesuchal Hu Yigala, V'yavo Mishamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop by Shlishi from Shemayim. We're not building it, and therefore it could come Belayla, it could come Yom Tov. There is no concern here at all. The Rivan writes here, we see from this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although he's Mitzava, Eina Mitzuva, he gives us the commandments, but he doesn't have to keep the commandments. Ah, because it's Yom Tov. He could build on Yom Tov. It's not a problem at all. That's how Rashi understands this pshat. And the Rashi appears both here in Masech HaSukkah and also in Rosh Hashanah. So many things to talk about here. I'm not sure where to even go. But this is one shot, and this is Rashi Shita. Now, the Rambam Shita is famous for saying, no, it's be the other, that you and I are going to build it. We're going to build it. Now, the Aruch HaNer asks a lot of questions on Rashi. He says, how could it be? How could it be? There's so many Gemaras that indicate that we are going to build it. So the Aruch HaNer says, Rashi agrees that we're building it. What Rashi means here is the Beis HaMikdash Beruchni. There's a guf and there's a neshama. We have a guf and a neshama. The Beis HaMikdash has a guf and a neshama. So the guf will be built by Bidei Adam, and the neshama will come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Aruch HaNer's pshat. Doesn't sound like that's what Rashi means. He seems literally it's going to drop from Shemaim, but that's Aruch HaNer's pshat. Now in the world of the Rambam, who holds that we are going to build a Bidei Adam, the question is, how does he understand the Gemara here? We can't build it on Yom Tov. It's also for us to build on Yom Tov. How does he get around that question of Rashi? So the Tiferes Yisrael writes in the beginning of Maseches Midos, he says, Amir La'akum, the Goyim are going to build it on our behalf. And there's no violation of Amir La'akum when it comes to Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. There's no violation of Shvus in the base of Mikdash. So since they're building the base of Mikdash, it's in the Makom Mikdash. There is no problem of them building a Yom Tov. Even though it's not us, it's them, that's considered Bidei Adam. And he brings some proofs for this idea. I'll ask one more question before I go Vaitik, because there's so much to talk about here. There's a, the Rambam writes that the women are chayiv in building the Beis HaMikdash. They're chayiv in the Beis HaMikdash. So they ask the question, what do you mean? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shavuos that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash Balayla, only by Yom. Isn't that Mitzvah Aseh? Shesman Grama. So there are a number of answers brought. One answer that comes to mind is the Ragachever says that there really are two dinim of the Beis HaMikdash. There's one element of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban, holds the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to be a makom of the Shechina to rest. The other purpose is to place of karbanos. Now, since the women are chayv in karbanos, they have to build the Beis HaMikdash so they could fulfill their element of karbanos. So even though it's a mitzvah aseh shesman grama, in the end day it's shaykh to them, so therefore they have to be involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But he does write, only those parts of the Beis HaMikdash that are likuva, that if they don't have it, they can't bring the karbanos like the mizbeach. But let's say the Aron, or let's say the Shulchan, which is not ma'akev, their ability, they're not chayv to build those parts, only that which they are chayv in and bringing their karbanos. Okay, a lot more to say, but let's go on. Gemara now says, last three lines of the Amud here, says the Gemara, Amr of Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Amr of Yochanan, Medzakai, Bishites Rabbi Yehuda Omer. He's giving a whole nother pshat of why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says it's usher to have the chadash all that day, the 16th of Nisan. He says he holds like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Who holds? Damar min haTorah hu usher. It's really usher It's not based on Hay or Mizrach. It's not based on the sunrise. The entire day is usher to eat Chadash. It says in the Pasuk, Ad etim hayom hazeh. Ad itum shayom. You have to wait until the entire day. The Pasuk says, Ad etim hayom hazeh. It's usher. So the entire day must go ad until the entire day passes. It's a din deraisa. It's not mechadish any din derabanan. It's no takana here. It's an iser deraisa. So Gemara says, "Umi saver le kavase." Does he really hold like him? Rabbi Yochanan really holds like Rabbi Yehuda. V'ham miflek poligala. Doesn't he argue? The Tani, the Raisa says, "Mishachar beisam megdash hiskin," which is lashon of takana, a lashon of din derabanan. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan medakai sheyehe yom hanaf kula aser. And Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds back to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. V'alo min haTorah hu aser. Dichsev ad etzem hayom hazeh ad itzumah shayom. So clearly they have a debate whether it's a deraisa or a derabanan. So how could Rav Nachman suggest that they agree? So Gemara says no. Rabbi Yehuda who de katoi, he made a mistake. He misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai meant because he said hiskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, and he thought like you and I would have thought. Husaver midderabanan kamar v'lohi. That wasn't true. That's not what he meant. He meant hiskin actually meant a midderaisa kamar. Avaha hiskin kamar. Hiskin means derabanan. It's a takana. My hiskin darish v'hiskin. He was darish the pasuk itzuma shayom, and he was mesakin. So why mesakin? That isn't that a derais that always existed. So look at Rashi explains how he explains the pshat here. Five narrow lines down. V'hiskin the fisha hayu regilim lechol chadash mechatzos lahalon kishe beis kaim ad achshav. When the beis hamikdash was around, they ate a chatzos. That's a deraisa. Now, Huchach Lesakin, they have to, now the base mikdash was destroyed, they have to now instate or reinstate the din deraisa when there is no base mikdash. So Hiskin, again, the deraisa says if there's a base mikdash, it's chatzos or the carbon, but there's no base mikdash, it's the entire day. So they were used to having chatzos because that's what they had for a number of years for the carbon omer when it was brought. That was now destroyed. So we have to now remind everyone of the halacha, if there's no base in Mikdash, the Pasuk says we have to go based on Itzuma Shayom, which means until the entire day passes. And that is a deraisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in agreement with Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us now in Mem Aleph and Beis. Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. So what do you do? Kol Ha'am Molichen Es HaLulaveim. They had no Erev there. They couldn't carry it from their house. So what would they do? They bring the Lulaveim, the Beis HaKnesses, the Machas the next day, even though we don't shake the Lulav on Shabbos, they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. We'll see that later on. They brought it to the Beis HaKnesses, some shul in the old city near Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Mashkimen, they would go early in the morning. Uvan Kolecha V'Yachad Makir Es Shalom. Vinolo, they'd put some type of marker, they'd recognize their lulav, they'd write their name on it, put a little string on it, something they could recognize it. The next day they'd find their lulav, vinolo, and they'd take it. Why would they have to recognize? Why not take anybody else's lulav? Mipnei she'amru, chacham, chacham, darshind, ein adam yotei, yidei chavasa b'yam tavrishon, b'lulavo shel chaveru. As we know, you cannot be yotei the mitzvah with somebody else's lulav, you must own it lachem. V'shari mosachag, the rest of the days where you could use a borrowed lulav. Then adam yote yidei chavasa b'lulav asher chavero. You don't have to have your sign or indicator. You could go pick up any lulav you want. We assume, based on the cloud, that a person is happy to have his mitzvah used by someone else as their mitzvah. My chefta, I'm happy for you to use my tefillin, my talis, and so on. Use my lulav, that's okay. There's no hakpada there. So you could go pick up any lulav and shake it. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yosi Omer, yom tov rishon shechal yos shechag shechal yos b'shabbos. V'shachach, if a guy forgot accidentally, he forgot that it was Shabbos. He forgot you couldn't carry on Shabbos. V'hotzias halulav l'rishis harabim, he accidentally now walked outside carrying the lulav on Shabbos in rishis harabim, din deraisa, he's pater from the bringing chadas mipnei shehotzias b'rishis. Now we know, just to remind ourselves, that if a person violated hilchos Shabbos b'mezid, he's chayav skila. If it was done b'shogeg, he's chayav chadas. But this case, he's pater from the chadas. He clearly was shogeg, but it's even more than being shogeg. It was done b'rishus. Who gave him rishus? No one gave him rishus to walk outside. He's not allowed to walk outside with a dal minim. What does rishus mean? So if you look at Rashi to explain here, Rashi says, shehotziu b'rishus, b'rishus mitzvah. Shehaya tarid b'mitzvah. He was so osik in the mitzvah. U'mechashev v'osik u'memaher la'asosa. Sometimes people get so excited to do the mitzvah, he forgot about some of the details, some of the halachas. It's Shabbos. He made a mistake. When we tell Kach Ta, the Shachach Shul Shabbos, he forgot it was Shabbos, the Kesavah Rabbi Yossi is under the assumption, Ta, B'davar Mitzvah, V'shagag, a guy made a mistake, he was Osik in Mitzvah, he made a mistake while doing the Mitzvah, B'davar Karis, that which is Davar Karis, he's Pater Mikarbon, he's exempt. So that's the excuse because he was tarred B'davar Mitzvah. And that's a big discussion elsewhere. I don't remember if the Gemara tomorrow is going to get into this discussion, I think it does a little bit. Same for Shofar. Seemingly, but I don't remember. So then the Gemara says, "Min hani mili, how do we know this to be the case that a person could only be yote with a lulav that he owns, not his friend's lulav? The Tanya Rabbanan lekachdem that you have to take it. Shetehei lekicha biyad kol echad viechad that each person has to take their own lulav. There's no shutvis by lulav. And lachem mishalachem lehotzi es hashol v'esa gazel that you must own it and you can't have it borrowed nor can you have it stolen." So Mikan Amru from here, Chachamim said, "Ein adam yote de chavasa biyamtuf rishon shachag bilulavo shel chavero elim kein nath nitnulo b'matana." Unless he gives it to as a present, that would be allowed. You give it as a present. We've discussed this a few times already. We discussed it even recently that although normally you can't give a gift on Shabbos or Yamtif, if it's for the tzarech mitzvah, you're allowed to. So on Yamtif, I have my mitzvah, I shake it. You want my lulav? I can give it to you as a gift, and that's not a problem. Of Mecha Chamemkar on Yamtif since it's for the tzarech of the mitzvah. Now, Gemara quotes an interesting Maisa here. Maisa b'Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Shayu bon b'Sfina. They were once traveling a boat. We have this many times. They were many times traveling a boat, but one instance when they were traveling by boat, V'l'haya lulav ela Rabbi Gamliel, Bilvad, he was a wealthy guy. He was a Nasi, had a lot of money. He was the only one who had dalaminim. Shalachu be'elav zuz, he bought it for 1,000 zuz, a quite expensive lulav. I assume it means the whole package of the dalaminim. Natlu Rabbi Gamliel, v'yatabo, he took it. It was the first day. He was shaking it. V'nitnu Rabbi Shua b'matana, gave it to Rabbi Shua. Not little Rabbi Shua, he took it. V'yatzeba, he then was yote. V'nitnu Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, gave it to Rabbi Elazar next. B'matana, not little Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'yatzeba. V'nitnu Rabbi Matana, Rabbi Yekiva, not little Rabbi Kiva, v'yatzeba. V'chziru Rabbi Gamliel, after all of this, passing to four different people, they returned it back to Rabbi Gamliel. So there we see that you're allowed to give it over as a matana on day one to be yote to the mitzvah. So Gemara just has a few questions we want to ask him this ma'isa. Lamali lemeimar hechziru. Why say return to Rabbi Gamliel? Ready to go to the mitzvah. Why go full circle? So Milsa Agav Archa coming to teach us Adin that Kamashmalan Matana Amnas Lahachzer Shma Matana. That if you give a gift on condition that you return it to me, if you return it to me, it works. But if you don't return it to me, it's considered gzela. Kihal Dame Rava Halacha Esog Ze Amnash Shetachzirehu Li. So here's my esog, but it's only yours now if you return it to me at the end. So not love Yatzaba Hichziro Yatzab. Lo yichzir, if he does not return it to you, lo yata, and Rashi says it's a violation of gzela if he doesn't return it, and you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. It wasn't yours retroactively. So lamali, what's a need, lameymar, shalachu elvzuz, why, who cares how much it costs? What was the relevance of that? Lo diacha kama mitzos chavivos alen, to see how much he spent, and how chaviv he was. He didn't have to spend that much money, but it was so special, so precious to him, the mitzvahs, he spent 1,000 zuz on this esek. So look at Tosus on the bottom here, diba maschav imlav lo yata. Shouldn't it be that after first he gave it to Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Shua should have returned it to Rabbi Gamliel, then Rabbi Gamliel should have given it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, back to him. So how come at the end they circled Rabbi Gamliel only one time? So it says, Tosas, Mashalo hichziru Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Gamliel, Elonit, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Rabbi Kiva, Daitos, Rabbi Gamliel, Hayashiyotu Kulam Vachakach Yachzir. This was the understanding. He said, give it to Rabbi Yeshua, pass it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, give it to Rabbi Kiva, and then give it back to me. That was part of the understanding. In Echanami, that's how it was understood. Now, the interesting raya some bring from here. We know there's a mitzvah of Kiddush when it comes to Kohen. You have to honor the Kohen to make a bracha first, to give a drasha first, many, many different dinim. What about when it comes to doing a mitzvah? Is there an inyan to give it to a Kohen first? And the Mefarshim points out here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, and he was not given the esog first. So there's a raya from here when it comes to being mechaved a person with a mitzvah, you don't have to give the Kohen first. And the Achman reject this not as a raya because they say back that no, maybe he wasn't there, maybe it was a huge yacht, and Rabbi Shua was next to him over there. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was on the other side of the yacht, and they were not next to each other. But had they been next to each other, Ein Echanami would have given Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov the Kohen first. That's one shot. Then he says, maybe a different shot is, the truth is, that when it comes to Rabbi Yeshua was a Levi. Now, when it comes to Kohen versus Yisrael, so Kohen goes before Yisrael. When it comes to Kohen and Levi, where there's only one Madrega of difference, so then you add in who's a greater Talmud Chacham. So apparently, Rabbi Shua, who was a Levi, was a greater Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so he was greater than the Kohen. Because the Raya is, Rabbi Kiva was the greatest Talmud Chacham of all them, and he's only Yisrael. But since he was two Madregos down from a Kohen, his Torah wasn't able to push him over the limit. But since Rabbi Shua was a Levi, plus the second best Talmud Chacham that was there, that pushed him over as a Kohen. That's the Chiddush of the Chazam Zofar. It's not strictly about who's a Kohen versus not. A Kohen and a Levi. Levi also has some Kedusha as well.
Didn't Rav get the Kohen only before Shmuel? Meaning, I thought in general that back then it was always the Talmud Chacham took precedence.
That was based on a certain Takana that would lead to fighting, would seem. Maybe here it was earlier before that. These are the Tanaim before the Amoraim, or maybe they felt they wouldn't be fighting amongst these great Gedolim. But Matra, it's the Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. Certainly a big Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. Now, in terms of Kedusha that Levi has, there is an Emek Bracha, Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He writes that Levi has Kedusha, but the Kedusha of the Levi is only true if there's a Kohen that's there. If there's no Kohen, the Levi has no purpose. The Levi's purpose is simply to serve a Kohen. So there's a big discussion, if there's no Kohen for benching, is there any relevance, is it any value to give a Levi to lead benching? So some say, yeah, he's the next one in line. Others say, no. If there's no Kohen, then Levi is no different than Yisrael. So if there is a Kohen, then he wouldn't give a Levi. So Levi should never go first as a benching, because if there's a Kohen there, the Kohen goes first. If there's no Kohen, he's worthless. So then back inside the Gemara, now let's finish this daf. The Gemara says, the last five lines of the Amud here, or narrow lines of the Amud, Amr le Mar bar Amemar. He said, Mar, the son of Amemar, told Rav Ashi, Abba, my father Amemar, Tzluye kametzli bay. He would daven while holding the lulav. He was so chashiv to him, so chaviv to him, he would hold it even while he davened. So he asks the question, Mesivim. Lo yechos adam tefillin biyado. A person should not hold tefillin while he's davening the sefer Torah b'cheika, or holding on to the sefer Torah while he's v'yispalil. Lo yashin b'hen ma'im. A person shouldn't hold on to them while using the bathroom. Lo yishin b'hem. He shouldn't hold tefillin while sleeping. Lo shein es keva. Lo shein es arai. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. He shouldn't sleep or take a nap while holding them. Rambam Shmuel adds on to the list a sakin, v'kara, kikar, mouse, a knife, a plate, a food and money. He shouldn't hold on either. Hare elu kiyot ben. So we see a whole slew of things you shouldn't do while davening. One of them is not holding on to items, not even tefillin, sefer Torah. So how can he hold on to the lulav while davening? So Gemara says, Hasam lav mitzvah ninu v'tari b'hu. There, holding the knife, holding the wall, holding the bread, was not a mitzvah. And therefore, his mind is involved in holding the item and not in davening. Haka here, where he's doing a mitzvah of dalminim, sininu lo tarbu. It's not a contradiction. Him holding a lulav perhaps enhances the tefillah. Look how Rashi says this. Rashi says around eight lines up from the bottom here, lav mitzvah ninu, le ochsan, to hold the bread, to hold the money, is no mitzvah. V'havin alav lamas, it's simply a weight he's holding. And lefikach, tarid b'masam, the covet alav masam v'shmirasam. He's now busy worried about dropping the tefillin, dropping the sefer Torah, dropping the knife. Hacha, here by holding the lulav, and the tilasa, v'lekichasa, mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Umitoch shechaviva mitzvah alav, since it's so chaviv dim, ein masav v'shimura covet alav. It's not that's a heavy weight, it's natural, it's an instinct to hold it. V'lo tarid, therefore it's not a tarid, nor is it considered a distraction to his tefillin, therefore allowed. The Gemara finished off with the braisa. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Bar Tzadok Omer, Kachaya min Hagen shel Anshei Yerushalayim. This was the practice of the people who lived in Yerushalayim. Adam yotze mi beis av lulav biyado. He leave his house holding lulav in hand. Holech lebeis knesses lulav biyado. He go to the shul holding the lulav. Kare kriyashma umispalo lulav biyado. He daven with holding the lulav. Kare b'Torah v'noses kapav manicha gabe karkav. He went to read the Torah. Went to do nesis kabayim. He needs both hands for that. So then he puts the lulav down. Holech levaker cholim. He goes to visit the sick. The nachem avelim lulav biyad. He holds a lulav. Nichnas the base of medrash. He goes to learn. Mishager lulav biyad beno. He gives it to his son. Ubiyad abdo. Ubiyad shlucho. He sends them back home with his children, his eved, and he goes to learn. So my kamashlam. What do we learn from this interesting brisa? Lo diacha kama hayez reason b'mitzvahs. How zaris they were. How careful. How chaviv they were in the mitzvahs, and therefore they're makbid, even though they didn't have to. To hold the lulav as much as possible during the entire day. So let's quickly recap what we did.
In the churba, according to the Gra, they hold the lulav the whole davening.
Interesting. Okay. So then they had, let's recap what we did quickly here. We did, at the end, talking about this discussion of the pre of the Shavuos, that we concluded at the end of the day, when it came to the pre Rishon, everybody agrees that Derech Mekach works, Derech Chila doesn't work, but the pre Sheni, that's a machlokas, whether or not Chila would work by the pre Sheni. Or not. That's how we concluded. And then the Mishnah taught about the din of 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash is the Deraisa. One day Medina is Deraisa. And after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was misaking that you should have it all 7 days in the Medina and also the Yom Hanaf. We discussed what the basis of making such a takana is, and based on the pasuk of Dorish Tzion he Dorish Ein La, that implying that there should be one who's Dorish, one who seeks out the remembering of the Beis HaMikdash. Then we discussed about this Yom Hanaf, the Beis HaMikdash, when it was rebuilt, perhaps it was rebuilt the nighttime, right before the Chol HaMoed, Pesach, there was not enough time to prepare the Karban Omer, therefore it was delayed, so they asked for the entire day as a gzeira, Perhaps last year was the sunrise. This year they didn't know it was the whole day, and therefore they had made it such a takana that the whole day should be usher. Rav Nachman says it wasn't a takana; it was actually a din deraisa, where it means hiskin darish for hiskin. He established a din deraisa based on Behuda that mid deraisa, if there's no base of mikdash, itzuma shayom, the entire day would be usher ad etem hayom hazeh. Then the Mishnah talking about that the day one they bring their lulav to base mikdash for Shabbos because they couldn't carry it. And they find they're appropriate to lulav because you can't be yotzei with your friends. And the Gemara just brings the raya, the ma'aser, Rabbi Gamliel, and the three other gedolim on the boat, and the matana amas lahachzir. And then finally, how Amemar would daven holding the lulav. But can you hold things? It's also to hold things while davening. That's only when it's not a mitzvah. But when it's a mitzvah and it enhances your davening, or perhaps you're not tarred in it, that would be allowed. And finally, the Anshu Shalim who would carry the lulav all day long wherever they would go. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day.